From Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta, where the main street is called Y Road. Y Road. It's not just a hamlet, it's an existential crisis. It's the Irrelevant Show!
Hey, Cindy. Taking some work home, I see.
Hey, Rick. Yeah, these are the files for the Johnson case. Can you hold the door for me? These boxes are heavy.
You know what, Cindy? I could hold the door for you. But what message would that be sending? No, you are strong enough to open your own door. March right through with your head held high. You go, girl.
Damn it, Rick!
He won't open a door or hold a chair. He's not lazy, he's trying to be fair. He took woman studies, didn't get the gist. He's Rick and he thinks he's a feminist.
Honey, are those new glasses?
Nope.
Something's different. Did you get a haircut?
No.
It's just I'm finding myself irresistibly attracted to you. Have you been working out?
No, I've actually gotten fatter.
Well, there's something new. What is it?
Well, I guess I have made one change to my lifestyle. Let me lift up my pant leg and show you.
Wow, what is that sexy, unique, and bold accessory just above your foot? It's mesmerizing.
It's an anklet, Susan. Yeah. A male anklet.
A manklet!
Hi, I'm Reggie Montenegro, owner and operator of the Manklet Emporium, Winnipeg's first store totally dedicated to male anklets and the male anklet lifestyle. Are you ready for the manklet lifestyle? Yes, you are. Don't believe me? Listen to these satisfied customers.
Hi, I'm Donald Trump. You viewers don't know this, but my hair is thinning slightly. Why haven't you noticed? It's because I wear a manklet under my pant leg. It's huge. With the fun energy and vibe it gives me, nobody notices my very slightly receding hairline. Now that's what I call good business.
Before I wore a manklet, I felt unhappy and unattractive. And I was marooned on a lifeboat somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But now I have a manklet, and everything has changed. Now I feel happy, attractive, and cool, while marooned on a lifeboat in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Thanks, manklet. Please send help.
Whether you're an edgy grunge rocker or a by-the-book businessman, your male anklet will have you feeling sexy, confident, and cool. I guarantee you won't want to take it off. I myself haven't taken off my own rockin' ankle bling in weeks. So come on down to the Manklet Emporium, just off exit 74 on Highway 409, in the basement of my parents' house. The house doesn't have a number. It's the first brown house off the highway. You'll see it. Just open the front door and hang a left. You'll see the stairs. My room is the one just past the boiler, down the hallway with the broken light. I'm in there. Just take a leap and join the anklet lifestyle. Your ankle will thank you, and so will you.
How was your dinner, sir?
It was great, but I worry about you.
What's that, then?
Well, not you specifically, but I worry about all women, about the struggles you face every day, stuck in these gender-discriminatory jobs like waitress. I mean, sometimes the pain of it makes me weep.
I'm not getting a tip, am I?
It's for your own good, and you're welcome.
Don't say he's not a real big spender. He just wants to support her gender. He's correct in action and in thought. He thinks he's a feminist, but he's not.
And a long breath out. Good, good. Now we're going to still our minds with a visualization. So get comfortable and listen only to my voice. You're on a beach. The sand is blazing white. The ocean is a deep, rich blue. All you hear is the surf, washing in, washing out. Now breathe with the surf, in and out, in and out. The waves.
Was that a chip bag?
Nope. No, just the sea, the surf, and your breath.
I recognize that sound.
Someone is eating chips.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Chips for sure. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I missed breakfast. But you're not here. You're on the beach. The heat of the sand. The comfort of the water.
They're salt and vinegar. I can smell them.
Yeah. Me too.
That's the salt of the ocean. The beautiful, warm ocean.
I'm sorry, Miranda, but the smell won't get out of my brain.
Yeah, my whole beach is a chip.
In the mouth of my mind, I can taste them.
Okay, go with that. Let's all focus on the smell of the chips, the sound of their crunch. Clear your mind.
Oh, my deity, can I have a chip?
Yeah, I'm dying for a chip over here.
Oh, sure. Come get some.
Oh, great.
Can we have chips at meditation class? I thought we were supposed to transcend physical yearnings.
So you don't want one?
Oh, no.
I want chips, too.
Come get some.
Okay.
It's like I've never truly experienced a chip before.
The taste, the smell.
Oh, it fills my whole being.
I feel utterly focused.
I am so complete right now.
It's like I've been washed completely clean.
Wow. Guys, sounds like we're having some real breakthroughs this week.
I never felt so centered in my life. This is the most transcendent class ever.
Uh-huh. Oh, I wish we could do this all the time.
Just eat chips every week?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, chips.
Huh? Sure. We just meet here every Wednesday night and eat chips. And crunch. And crunch. And crunch. Feel the vinegar washing you clean.
You're listening to The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio 1 and Sirius XM. Coming to you today from Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
For free podcasts of The Irrelevant Show, either individual sketches or whole episodes, go to iTunes or to our website, cbc.ca/irrelevantshow. And if you have a comment about the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. Our address is irrelevant@cbc.ca.
Today's episode of The Irrelevant Show is brought to you by the Canadian Screen Awards. The Canadian Screen Awards, a veritable who's that of Canadian showbiz.
And now, please welcome today's musical guests, Jocelyn Ulf and Jan Randall.
Thank you so much for letting us come back to Festival Place. Jan and I are really excited to be here. But I have to admit, I'm a little bit exhausted from the holiday season. And mostly, I'm very tired from going to Boxing Day sales at big box stores. And whenever I'm there and all the madness, I just kind of wonder to myself, I wonder what Joni Mitchell would think about all this.
Boxing Day morning, and we're lined up twice around the mall. Lawn chair thrones for the kings of the sidewalk, armed with flyers high on Starbucks. Dave the manager's hands start to shake as he opens up the door. He says, let's try to be kind to each other this year. And he thinks about his children as he turns the key. We crash through the door like a hungry typhoon. Now Dave's on his back staring up at squeaky red balloons. Me, I'm here for a $9 plasma, 72-inch high def for $8.99. We'll fight to the death for our cheap iPad. We're crazy for bargains, and we're surfing the Christmas sand. Jerry's in the linen, his arm full of blue towels, yelling at his wife on the phone. I don't know what shade you want me to get. No, I can't describe them, they all look blue. Beth and Jenny start loading up all the Godiva chocolates they can hold. They'll throw them in the freezer for next year, 'cause chocolates don't go bad. Jenny rips some truffles out of Beth's hands. Now they're clawing at each other and rolling on the floor. No salespeople to break it up. Seriously, does anyone work here? Me, I'm here for a $9 plasma, 72-inch high def for $8.99. We'll fight to the death for a cheap iPad. We're crazy for bargains, and we're surfing the Christmas sand. Kids are peeing behind the mannequins 'cause they can't find the bathrooms. And Jerry buys 8 kinds of towels, none of them the same shade of blue. A cashier finally cleans up the chocolates and takes them back for the staff. Beth and Jenny are crying on the floor, threatening to sue each other. And we brag about how much we've saved, and we tell ourselves we'll return the stuff that don't fit, despite the huge signs that scream no returns, no exchanges. Then the PA comes on and a tinny voice cries for 10 minutes only, betting is 80% off. And it's total carnage, blood and screens and zombie carnage. And over by automotive supplies near the Olympic Mits at entrance 23, a man in a beret is playing an accordion. And it's just like we're in Paris, just like we're in Paris. Do 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 do. Me, I'm here for a $9 plasma, 72-inch high def for $8.99. We'll fight to the death for a cheap iPad. We're crazy for bargains, and we're surfing the Christmas sand.
Thank you. thank you, Evelyn, for that lovely piece you just played. It wouldn't be a Sunday service here at Oakville Allegiance without you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Of course. And Evelyn, by the way, what kind of car do you drive?
Oh, a 2007 Subaru Impreza. Why?
No reason. Thank you again for your lovely playing. Welcome, everyone. We're glad you could all join us here this morning. First off, I want to thank the Jensens once again for the lovely fellowship they hosted at their place on Wednesday evening. Roy and Janice, please stand. Yes, thank you, Roy and Janice.
You're welcome, Pastor.
Roy, I didn't happen to notice when I was at your place. What kind of a car are you guys driving these days?
A 2009 Buick Allure.
It's not you, then. Please be seated. Now, I would like now to take a moment to ask who here among us on this wonderful morning drove a white 2000 Mazda Protege to service? Nobody? Well, then I guess the Lord must be playing tricks on my eyes today, because it certainly looks like there's a white Mazda Protege parked right next to my car. And I mean right next to my car. So close, in fact, that I'm unable to gain access to my car to grab today's sermon that I forgot in my back seat. As my vehicle is now boxed between the north wall of the church and a white 2000 Mazda Protege. Okay. Does anybody know of anybody who owns a white Mazda Protege? Yes, Mrs. Wisner?
Do you know the Andersons?
Brian and Lori?
No, Mick and Arlene?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, anyways, they have one.
And it's white?
Yes, I believe so.
Will Mick or Arlene Anderson please move their car so that I can grab today's sermon and begin?
Oh, they can't do that.
Why is that?
Well, they live in Fort Myers.
But in Florida? What? Why would you? What do you think I'm doing? All right, never mind. Thank you, Mrs. Wisner, for trying to be helpful. Okay. Since no one seems to want to confess, and I don't really have a plan for what to talk about without my notes, I'm going to jump ahead and ask Terry Simpson to come up and share his story of how the Lord spoke to him this past week.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, sometimes it's easy to get so absorbed in your day-to-day worries and annoyances that you forget what's important.
Is it your car?
Sorry?
The white Mazda, Terry. Is it yours?
No.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying.
Quick, what kind of car do you drive?
A black 2012 Chevy Silverado.
Okay, then. Thank you for sharing your story, Terry. Please be seated.
No, but I didn't get a chance.
Thank you, Terry. All right, everyone, please bow your heads and close your eyes. Take a moment to let the Lord bring to your attention anything that might be weighing on your mind. Everybody keep your eyes closed, and I'm going to close my eyes, too. Okay. Whoever's white Mazda Protege that's parked so close to mine, please move your vehicle now. All eyes are closed, so you needn't feel as though anyone will see or judge you. And everybody quick, open your eyes, turn around to see Bob Morgan going out to move his car. It was Bob Morgan, everybody. I knew it was someone here. What, is no one else excited about this? Come on, he was lying and we caught him.
I'm sorry, Pastor. I had to park close to your car because I needed enough space on the other side to help my sick Nana out of the car and get her into her wheelchair. I'm ashamed of myself and ask for your and the entire congregation's forgiveness.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Bob, I think I speak for the entire congregation when I say, if you ever cross any of us ever again, we will end you. Now, please move your car so I can extract my sermon, The Forgiving Heart, from the back seats. And don't forget, Bob, and you.
Honey, were you going to shovel the walk before Marnie and Bob come over?
What? And propagate reductive stereotypes about male and female gender roles, denying you the right to self-definition on your own terms, setting back decades of progress and diminishing both of
Fine.
Us?
Fine! I'll do it.
Treats every woman like a man, just so they don't feel less than. He talks to gals about Jermaine Greer, he's proud to never buy them beer. Whatever they need, he won't assist. He's Rick and he thinks he's a feminist. He's Rick and he thinks he's a feminist.
Welcome back to Shodgers Oilers Hockey here at the Shodgersplex. I'm Bob Brockovich, and alongside me in the booth is former Oilers player Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Hey, Bob. Great to be here.
Well, Ryan, we've reached the last game of the 2029 season. The Oilers are now in the 25th year of their rebuilding plan. To say, while they've shown flashes of promise, the 29 Oilers have certainly had more than their share of downs.
That's Oilers hockey, Bob. They start the season with promise, nosedive in December, and draft high the next season. It's what Oilers fans show up to see.
Okay, back to the action. It's Oilers 0, Panthers 0, with just 20 seconds left in the third period. Rukola takes the faceoff for the Oilers, drops it back to Boothby, over to Pekkerberg. He shoots and... Whoa! Oh, that was weird. The puck just went into the little cage thing there, and everyone stopped playing. And then there was that noise. I gotta tell you, Ryan, I'm not sure what just happened there.
That's a goal, Bob. That's called a goal, and the Oilers just scored one.
Well, that's certainly something I have not seen before. And what's this? What's happening now? The Oilers are hugging and patting each other on the back? It's like some kind of weird fight with their own teammates.
Yeah, what's happening there is they won the game. This is called a victory celebration. Early in my career, we used to do this 5, sometimes 6 times a year.
Old school hockey. Well, it's really something to see. But why are they swinging their arms at each other?
They're attempting to high-five each other, Bob. But they've never done it in a game situation. So they keep missing each other's hands.
That is adorable.
Oh, my goodness, Bob. It appears several Oilers have injured themselves with all that crazy hugging.
Well, Ryan, the good news is the season is over, so they'll have plenty of time to recuperate and get healthy for next year.
Actually, no, Bob. The Oilers need those guys for next week.
Ryan, it's the last game of the season. It's over.
Not really, Bob. With that win, the Oilers have made it into the postseason. They could be playing for another 4, maybe 6 games.
What? Postseason? What is this you're saying? I mean, more games?
Playoffs, Bob. That's what it's all about.
Playoffs. No,
playoffs.
Playoffs.
That's a funny word.
Playoffs.
Well, I mean, the old timers tell stories about the Oilers playing hockey after the snow melted, but I thought those were just legends.
It's an actual thing, Bob. But I do wonder how the Oilers are going to feel about playing their postseason games here in the Shodgersplex. This decrepit barn is almost 6 years old now. This city had better cough up for a new arena is all I can say.
Oh, they will, Ryan. They will.
Well, that's all from us. We'll see you next year.
Next week, the playoffs.
Oh, right. Playoffs. Playoffs. Been listening to The Irrelevant Show, starring
Kathy Durkach,
Neil Gron,
Mark Meir,
Jana O'Connor,
and Donovan Workin.
Live music by Jocelyn Aul and our music composer, Jan Randall. Live sound effects by Dave Clark. Sketches were written by Aaron Eves, Peter Brown, Diana Francis, James Hartnett, Chris Locke, and head writer, Neil Gron. The show is recorded by Corey Haberstock and edited by Ray Buxton. The Irrelevant Show was produced and directed by Peter Brown and recorded before a live audience at Festival Place in Sherwood Park, Alberta.
Edmontonians, Torontovians, come see us. The Irrelevant Show is recording Saturday, February 28th at the Arden Theatre in St. Albert and in Toronto on March the 10th at the Randolph Theatre. For information, go to cbc.ca/irrelevantshow.